Now, I know that's not the best way to start a discussion, but, pardon me, having one heck of a day, but then again, you know, busy life makes, it's less boring. I mean, it's hectic, but it's less boring. You know, less boring, you know, make someone, you know, give someone reasons to leave. Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in. If you just joined us, you, well, obviously, this is the beginning. For those of you that are regular, you know that this is the obvious time of Home Run beginning, and it ends at 6 o'clock on the dot. And as always, your host, as usual, are Helmut and Dwight. You know, Helmut and Dwight, your host and co-host, depending on how you spin it. Today's, before we dive in today's discussion, before we introduce the topic, good afternoon, Dwight.
Before we introduce the topic.
Before we introduce the topic.
We first need to laugh, Helmut.
Yeah. Now, let me paint the canvas. Are you familiar with the game called Game of Telephone?
Game of Telephone or Broken Telephone?
Yeah, it's also, it turns out it's also known as Chinese whispers in some Commonwealth countries. Why Chinese whispers is beyond me. I have no idea.
Please,
why.
Let's not give signaling away. Because
I know.
one of the
yeah,
stakeholders.
I mean, that's
Chinese.
I mean, that's awfully specific.
Like, that's more than specific.
Yeah.
Literally, hint, hint. Wink, wink. Take a look here. But yeah, you're saying how much?
Now, the best way to describe it is the term you just used, broken telephone.
Yeah.
It basically shows a broken down of communication. And the thing is, communication is a very tricky thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing in a sense that, it's very difficult to deliver the exact same words that you were told to deliver to someone.
Yeah.
Before we invented our telephones, telegrams, SMSs, and, all social media, we had to communicate by what? Verbal. So, I don't know if you all remember, but I remember that, many times of my childhood when I was sent in the house to go and get salt, and I came out with something completely different. And my mom was not happy at that. I'm like, what's wrong with your ears? Salt. I said salt. Why are you carrying a bag of maize meal? So, communication is key. It turns out, if communication is complicated on a family level, on a national level, it's even worse if it's not controlled properly, or more like done properly, like carefully, methodically, and properly. Why are you lecturing us this early about communication? Well, it's because today we're going to talk about the quote-unquote illegal lithium mining in Uis. Am I pronouncing that right?
Uis.
Yeah. Yeah. Illegal lithium mining in Uis.
There's something else missing in front of the U, but that's a completely different discussion.
Let me guess, it's a click.
It's a click sound, because if you had to ask any Quokkakopop speaker, what does the name mean? Probably the Afrikaans, because it's written in Afrikaans.
Uis. The one without a click.
Yeah, the name now that we're using, Uis, is written without the click.
Okay.
The other name, there's also Karibab, also written with a click. If you understand it, the
Karibib?
Same. Yeah.
Karibib. No kidding. Did not know that.
Well, you have, except for Keetmansoup. Don't count Keetmansoup. Keetmansoup is given its name. It has a Quokkakopop name, but it was given its name by a German industrialist that has never visited Namibia after the Berlin conference. It was just given to him
in honor
to say our patron, who has sponsored us to get on a boat and be here.
Yeah. And do to these people the exact same thing that our, a bunch of royal guys did to us back home.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. So, I know, right? Humans are just, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm telling you, we are the most twisted creatures on the planet.
It's a weird particular thing, because you're right on the discussion of broken telephone, Helmut, because... Yeah. We here at Eagle, Eagle FM, as well as also The Villager, we have extensively spoken and brought to light specifically this particular discussion. I mean, just particularly counting how we've tracked this conversation since 2023, up and until last year, June last year. And this is obviously if people have taken a look at this particular discussion. Actually, no, it's since 2022, actually that we've been talking about this particular development, which obviously, once again, you will allude to still in your introduction.
Broken telephone.
Yeah, but just so the listeners know, this has been a conversation we have spoken about since 2022. And it's a conversation that, if you read between the lines, Helmut and I, we will get to the surprise.
Oh, yeah.
We will get to it. If you read between the lines.
You know, we'll get to why I said, quote-unquote, illegal.
You will get to the you'll read between the lines and understand as in terms of why Helmut is using certain particular words and vocabulary, and where I am sort of like...
Oh, you know, certain verbosity.
Verbosity is not... Helmut, you know what? That guy will... former minister will come and he will do what Donald Trump has done, has tried to do.
Executive orders.
No, he'll try and, what's the thing's name? He'll try and copyright that phrase.
Before he does that, man, I have a lot of examples, but no, we're not going to bring that up now.
Yeah.
But, the line, or more like, not the line, but, so the example of a broken telephone.
Yeah.
That we use. It's basically a story that has, at its core, the breakdown of effective communication. How, you say something to one person, and then you ask them to whisper it to the next person on a line of, on a line or queue of 10 people. By the time that you ask the last person, what you whispered to the last, to the first person, you realize that they were given a completely different
discussion.
Yeah, different discussion, different topic.
Yeah.
You know, something wildly different. I remember our entrepreneurship teacher, doing that to us. So we did that, in 8th grade. You're looking at a class of about 40, 40 learners. And you whisper something to one learner at the entrance, which you find the front seaters, the smart ones. Big benches just want to hide everywhere. But now you whisper something to them, and then you tell them to whisper it to the next person, and then the next person whispers it to the next person until it reaches the last person in the class. By the time that the teacher asked the last person in the class, what were you told, boy or boy? Learners being learners, for the sake of Crane, let's stop that story there. Because that, that bro was given pure insults. But his point was made because he did that before starting, before beginning with his lesson.
Mm.
Because the discussion at the time was basically around, effective communication, because it's a very, it's also a significant part, it's an integral part of both basically communication in general and also in business. Now, it turns out, the same thing, as we are going to see, happened with the quote unquote illegal UIS.
Yeah.
Lithium mining. Now, obviously, this is, this discussion is in line with the report that was, put out back in February by the Natural Resources Parliamentary Standing Committee, those grievances were brought by the then LPM's SEBIB. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brought it to the parliament.
Former
LPM MP. Oh, yeah. I read those letters. Believe me. It's hard to forget that. It's formers of EC in Bon Voyage. See, there's a guy. Just say goodbye. I mean, some of these things are unnecessary.
You're rubbing in salt with this. No need for extra salt. And you even started with a salt joke.
No pun intended. Well, the grievances were basically brought, or, you know, as it's described in a report, as a standoff.
Was brought to
Parliament, and Parliament, you know, the Parliament saw it fit to send, you know, the Natural Resources Standing Committee on the ground to go on what they do best, on what standing committees basically do, go on the ground, carry out an investigation to try and see that, is what we are hearing going to match with what's on the ground.
Yeah.
And to their surprises, we will continue that on the other side of the commercial break. Home run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
Namibia, it's time to dream big with JSB Sports. The Mega Giveaway 2025 is here, with a massive 1 million Namibian dollars in total prizes to be won. Here's how to win. With every losing bet on our sports book of 20 Namibian dollars or more, you're automatically entered into the draw. That's right, even when luck isn't on your side, you still have a chance to win big. Back your favorite teams, take your best shot, and let your losses turn into an opportunity for glory. Don't miss out. Visit jsbsports.bet. Place your bets and be part of the action. JSB Sports. Bet with the best.
JSB supports responsible gambling and is not for persons under the age of 18.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Natural Resources Standing Committee, who is lithium, quote-unquote, illegal mining, and an example of a broken telephone, a type of communication. So that's so basically we're going to have a discussion around the subject of illegal lithium mining, and this discussion we are going to have it around the subject, or more like using the report that was put out by the Natural Resources Standing Committee as the main source, with a few peripherals, of course, on the side. So if you just tuned in, buckle up, because this is going to get interesting. As well as it was for the gentleman on the ground. I have one question for them, though, but it's towards the end.
One question?
Yeah.
Just one question, Helmut?
A sarcastic one.
Well, if you have to pose that question, the question obviously has to be born about, you know, ultimately, what actually went wrong? Well, you and I know, because we read the report.
Uh-huh.
Basically,
that's the question. What went wrong?
Because you and I, we also primarily know that the particular proponents, the participants to the court case about the same activity,
mm-hmm.
Were in and out of court. It was a highly publicized discussion.
Uh-huh.
Minister of Defense had made, not Minister of Defense, Minister of Mines and Energy at the time, made press conferences here, a press conference there. Was asked this question in discussions, and things were said, and then obviously other things happened when after those things were said, and developments seem now to technically be rubber stamped because of this report. We're still keeping it a surprise, dear listeners, just so that you know, we're still keeping it a surprise. But it was a highly publicized discussion, obviously. A discussion ultimately that also had people going like, huh?
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, usually, and you can actually understand the sensation behind it, because first of all, there were foreign nationals involved. And well, one thing we know is that when something is you know, when something is embroiled in politics, first of all, basically on any subject, people like to find the the sweetest political path they can use. And that's not surprising, because that's basically the nature of politics.
Yeah.
Find is something that is that you can use to to push the point that you want to push. But if you just look at it from a reasonable standpoint, as the standing committee went out and there was they found out that a lot of things that we were that we were talking about with regards to the illegality had a lot of questions around it. It basically shifted from an illegal question to a procedural and communication question.
Mm.
And that is true for both the community on the ground, but the community on the ground not as much. The minister, this is the operators, aka the mines, the operator, the miners, yeah, the institutions in terms of, consultations, the Minister of Mines and Energy, and the traditional authorities.
Mm.
So they met with a constituency councillor, and oh dear,
things didn't, or things hadn't panned out.
Let me get for you one of those lines from the. Now the thing is, I'm very terrible with click words, so I'm not going. I'm not even going to try that. So meeting with the first traditional authority councillors. Can you pronounce that? 5.2?
Yeah. Mm. I should mention it.
Uh-huh. Page 3.
Yeah, Almut, you want to throw me in the deep
side? You bet.
Yeah. Okay, 5.2 you said.
Yeah.
No, because I was reading on another point. So, Almut, you are throwing me really in the deep end with that name.
You're welcome.
Okay, the best I can do is just Kwekan, traditional authority.
Yeah.
Or you can just say Oegan.
Oegan, yeah. Traditional authority. Okay, yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay.
That traditional authority pointed out something. Okay, am I starting with that traditional authority? No, not that traditional. Thank heavens, not the traditional authority. The meeting with the constituency council of the Daures constituency. That's honourable. Kennedy. Okay, I'm not going to throw you under the bus on this one again. Yeah,
just Hwasip. Say Kennedy Hwasip.
Hwasip. Now, Hwasip. Okay.
Yeah, you're
pointed out
up.
was a rehabilitation. That's one of the driving anger behind the community. Rehabilitation that left rehabilitation. Now that was the anger of the community, mostly on the side of the, of these mining operators. They will operate and not rehabilitate. Basically, they will leave pits of some of them up to, it's somewhere in here of about, 13 meters deep. And what happens when it rains? Obviously, this will act as natural catchment areas. And that will, that was, costing the community the health of their animals. So, that part, on the other hand, that one, I have read a lot of stories, and this is true even for multinational extractive industry operators. They are not very good at rehabilitating.
But here's the thing.
Because, cutting cost.
But here's the thing, Helmut.
Yeah.
This, first meeting that was done specifically with, the constituency councillor,
yeah.
Not the traditional authority. What was actually cited here in this meetings held section 5 of this report, that 5.1 section highlights what he said.
Yeah, what
exclusively. So it's not even in a scenario of what the MPs from Vintu came and said, okay, we've got this information, you've got that information, should we now just agree on which said? Mm-hmm. No, this is his whole account.
Yeah.
So technically, it's similar to the not the capital projects, the other one, the mining activities that were taking place in the central, north, and northern parts of Namibia, where they went to the guy in Tsumeb, the constituency councillor.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy was saying, yeah, the mining activity, you know,
it's
the
not
mines
meeting
are
this and this requirements.
They're not doing this. We fear for contamination here. We fear for what there. We fear. And then when they went to go speak to the private company, those guys were bringing out a completely different story, which literally contradicted the story coming from the constituency councillor.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's trying to make the discussion look as 360 degrees as possible. But you and I obviously know, at the start of this particular report, literally, the fears were hit for a six. And we're talking about Sachin Tendulkar, Chris Gayle-style kind of sixes. You hit it into rosette. You literally send that complaint discussion into rosette. Yes. Into rosette.
Yeah.
So, putting a particular salt on this
wound.
Constituency councillor's particular contribution is primarily that he was laying a whole bunch of accusations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to keep in mind. He's laying a whole bunch of accusations. Because, I mean, at the start of everything, when you have a look specifically, and this is not to defend the private company, dear listeners.
Yeah.
Specifically, this is not what we're doing. It notes here specifically that when you had to look at the first engagement, so Kennedy Housep welcomed the delegation of the constituency and outlined that the Daros constituency has a lot of small mining activities. He noted that the investors commenced with their exploration and or mining after obtaining the EPL and the mining license from the ministry without the proper consultation with the community through the traditional authority.
Yeah.
But they recognized, as the private sector who represents, they recognized who is the party that represents the community.
Okay, I see the line. Investors commenced with exploration and or mining after obtaining the EPL and mining license from the Ministry of Mines and Energy, without proper consultation with the community through the traditional authority. So that's the procedure. That's the procedural issue.
That's the procedural
issue that the councillor, you know, points out.
But here's the discussion, Helmut. Mm-hmm. So he's a constituency councillor.
Yeah.
There's a traditional authority.
Yeah.
You and I know what has been the problem specifically, like when you go to the communal areas in Namibia. The community recognizes the traditional authority because it's family members who are there and my son's sons or my daughter's daughter, something. And then you've got this politically active guy who is the constituency councillor.
Yeah.
And that guy probably doesn't have the same voice or ear from the community as the traditional council has, or the traditional authority has.
So they're divided in terms of chain of communication.
Exactly.
So that brings, emphasizes my broken telephone example.
Helmut, let me even throw a bigger anchor into this discussion as well. Okay. An anchor that doesn't stop the discussion, but an anchor that actually throws a bigger weight. Last night I was at this total Shell, no, this Total Energy and Namcor and Qatar Energy and Impact Energy and whoever guys that are obviously involved in the Venus oil block that is off the southern coast of Namibia.
Yeah.
It gets to the Q&A session. One of Namibia's most prominent politicians are sitting in the front. That's PDM's president. Not PDM, sorry. IPC's president,
Itula.
Behind me sitting a couple of other MPs, but backbencher MPs that I've never seen before. They're probably some of the new guys. These guys are asking, and that includes Itula and the guys at the back. They're asking questions as if the oil was found yesterday. Like literally yesterday.
Like questions that should have been asked like ten consultations ago.
No, but questions that have been answered before. Questions even before Mulunga left Namcor, he has answered before. Questions before Al Window, you know, was no longer, no longer Mines and Energy Minister. He has answered before. Questions that even President Geingob had answered before. Even though President Geingob said it in a pretty weirdish way by saying the oil is not ours discussions, which infuriated a lot of our listeners as well.
You know, that's one of the most misunderstood statement in, that's one of, actually for me, that's the most misunderstood President Hage's point, because he said, legally, the oil is not ours.
And when you look at the word...
Legally, but we have a break.
Yeah.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus Mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare.
Welcome back, and the time is 4 minutes, 4 o'clock, not 4 minutes, o'clock, just 4 o'clock.
Is it 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, yeah. Yeah. I swear I'm sober. Now, and
Helmut. Yeah.
Yeah, the time is 5 o'clock on the dot, now I'm confusing military time.
Yeah, so just where we left off.
Yeah.
Specifically with the last, particular anecdote, which is a case study. It's a good thing you highlighted that particular talking point. For example, like what President Geingob even explained. These are questions that were explained by the highest leadership also in Namibia.
Yeah.
President Geingob also said legally, like you highlighted just now off air in our break, legally, the oil is not ours. Now, dear listeners, it's the same discussion taking place here. There is a communication gap taking place across the country. And just like I highlighted as well, it seems like there's a constituency councillor who believes he needs to be the de facto leadership in his constituency, but the opposite of his leadership is the traditional authority that has been there longer than him. Do you see the conundrum, Helmut?
Yeah.
And that's literally also the dilemma. Now, the second scenario also highlighted specifically, like I said, was my anchor case study. So last night, the IPC's president gets up, he asks his question, but he asks the questions of NAMCOR guys by saying, what are the details of the contracts or the negotiations that took place regarding why, each of the stakeholders can take their oil from what is being pumped from Venus and go and refine it anywhere else, because that would still mean that Namibia would still have to import that refined product, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the downside is, Helmut, it seems that people don't know the level of the discussion that is contained in the IBS report that you and I already covered when that IBS report came out, which is the Industrial Baseline Study. Or Industrial Baseline Survey report.
Yeah, basically a blueprint.
Which was commissioned by, Shell and Total and the Ministry of Mines and Energy through Deloitte, auditing firm, to do the survey. You and I are probably the only people that have highlighted that this discussion is tech. You can only see the first barrel of oil being pumped in 2035. At the earliest stage,
If we had not, one thing I know is that, at least personally, is that if we had not gone through that,
yeah,
I think I would have looked at take for example what Trump's dream of bringing back manufacturing back to
exactly, it's the same thing.
I would have looked at that and gone, you can do that in 1 year until you realize that assembly plants, processing plants, or refining plants, it's a piece of infrastructure that takes time to build. And the people that are going to work in there are going to take time to be skilled up. This doesn't take 15 minutes.
No, but here's the thing that is a negative in them, in America's context.
Mm-hmm.
So when, let's for example say Apple moves back 10%, it'll take Apple, okay, let me start again. It'll take Apple 10 to move just 10% of their whole supply 10% chain. 10%
of their whole supply chain from Asia.
To the US. And when they do that, they'll automate that 10%. And it'll take them 5 years, the whole of Trump's term.
Now, picture what competitors are doing to you in these 5 years.
Exactly. And in the scope and the scenario of moving that 10% of that supply chain, remember that's 10% of 100%,
mm-hmm.
in between, everything is spiking in costs. Your whole inputs are spiking.
Yeah, because you have to factor in all the, you know, all the ballooning operational costs that comes with moving.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you also have to move, you also have to factor in the heightened standard of living, the heightened taxes and
throw
costs.
Inflation in there.
And inflation in your home country. That's the lovely discussion that I watched on CNN when this one CNN anchor interviewed another economics guy, but a guy that specializes in supply chain and logistics. And he asked the lady, why does your iPhone still cost $1,000? Why does your iPhone not cost $3,700?
Yeah.
And what would you buy an iPhone that literally costs you $90,000? There's not even a millionaire in Namibia that would say, I will never buy that thing. That thing better come with its own ATM, and it better come with a Mercedes-Benz attached to it, and it better come with a super jet or a jumbo jet, but they will not buy that phone. That phone better have AI that can walk in front of you.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
It better be, Master Chief, Halo, level AI.
Cortana. Oh, Jarvis. Forget Cortana.
Jarvis even.
Go with Jarvis.
Jarvis from Iron Man. It better be AI like that. Will you pay 90,000 for that?
Yeah, forget 90. Remove the zero. Just, I'm not paying 9. Obviously, the same thing of infrastructure plays into that, or, you know, into that oil discussion.
Yeah.
And, obviously, every multinational corporation has a lot of relationships, you know, all throughout the supply chain of every product that they produce. Yeah. Everything, if they make, take for example, batteries, then you know that they have someone that's supplying the lithium. There is someone that's supplying the aluminium, the paints, every piece of detail that you see on that cell or on that battery, they have a supplier for it.
Yeah.
Now, when you ask them, why they are not getting a new supplier, they'll be like, why should we get a new one? We already have one.
That too. There's a relationship that is based upon
working together.
You can meet each other's needs.
Yep.
In supply, in cost management, in resource allocation, in budgeting, in pricing, all that. They meet each other's needs.
You know,
and many people, and here's the weird thing in Namibia. No, Helmut, this is literally where a lot of conversation points come in. For example, like in this discussion.
Yeah.
So many Namibians think, okay, I own the mountain. But then the other half of the mountain is in a private farmer's land. You are sitting this side in communal land. Now, I had a debate the other day with my sister. Where my sister told me, no, communal land is trusted land, is land in trust on behalf of the community that lives there, the traditional authority, and it's held in trust by the government. But the explanations given from the Legal Assistance Center and from NAST obviously also motivated this, but you know, sometimes when you argue with your siblings, you stop the discussion abruptly because you don't want to show off any emotions. We're obviously, you know, older, so you try to maintain a cool and diplomatic relations and bilateral relations as much as possible. So I kept my cool. But just to read up again, Legal Assistance Center, even NAST's, in NAST's particular spatial management, that's the land management department, even the NSA guys, their explanation that they derive from government documents is that communal land is government land.
They say it like that. Communal land is land held in trust, but it's land that a community can use that is government land. Because the word state land stands there. Mm. Private land is known as freehold land. Freehold land implies it's land free from government ownership. The government can never own it unless it is sold to the government. Now, Elmut, what do you do, for example, in a discussion like this? There's a mountain. One half of the mountain facing east is owned by a private farmer.
Mm-hmm.
The other half of the mountain facing west is owned by
is in
communal land. Now, there's clearly a border. Private property, public property. Because communal land is technically public property. You can go on any traditional authority's land. Doesn't matter what group or ethnicity you're from. You can walk onto their property. Because the thing you've got to recognize here is that there is something known as the Constitution that recognizes you as a citizen. And as a citizen, it equals you to access to any piece of property of state land, which includes communal land.
You want to do consultations first before you do that because,
you don't even need consultations. That's the thing, Ahmed. It's public.
I know, but,
No, but that's was obviously the misunderstanding that exists in the discourse between the understanding of public and communal and state land versus private ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other conundrum. You and I, we've already satisfied or qualified that this is technically, there's misunderstandings and miscommunication happening there in Douras.
Mm-hmm.
The second scenario ultimately has been something that obviously at the start of the report, which you and I have not highlighted yet, but technically the standing committee went and found out that there's nothing wrong that the mining enterprise, which is foreign, it's a Chinese company, it's Xinfeng.
And a local one, I think.
They're part of a joint venture, yes.
Oh yeah, they're part of a joint venture.
That there's nothing untoward, that there's nothing, there's no illegality. There's nothing happening. Hence the reason why we also started with the introduction by telling you, dear listeners, that we here at Eagle FM, and through the Villager, we've extensively, presented and spoken about this particular subject matter. Just for a standing committee to literally rubber stamp the whole thing and literally identify that people are not talking to each other. The people that are the Namibians, however.
The people on the ground.
The people on the ground.
And accusations were flying here from the community of corruption, nepotism, you name it. Like, yo, this community is on fire.
Now, and remember, it's the same community in there that has a green hydrogen project in its vicinity as well. Douras.
Yeah.
The same community.
And they've
thrown out the same accusations as well.
And the thing is, these things, if you look at it, the accusations, especially among its community members, this is not something that's just unique to this community, believe me. I can give you a lot of stories of similar allegations, especially on the part of nepotism, just from my own hometown, home village. You'll find the same thing, things left, right, and center here. But one of the very interesting question to ask is that I pointed out the other day that it's very easy to say that what Dwight is doing is nepotism.
Mm.
That's very easy. But what Dwight is doing is nepotism, and he knows it's nepotism, and he knows you don't have evidence to prove it, he's gonna take you to court for an extra payment. And if you are not able to prove it, you're gonna pay.
Yeah.
Every time we make allegations we can't prove, we are risking our already risked through inflation and economic inequality bank accounts. So, making allegations, that's easy. But proving it in court, because what the court is going to be asking, is going to be asking you to prove it. Yes, what he did was nepotism. First of all, let's define nepotism.
Mm.
And then we look at the elements that are, that you look for before you describe something as nepotism. And, every time that we go that route, we realize that, that case is withdrawn. That case was, that case is long gone. That case was thrown out. That case is forgotten and all those things. That's because we, I don't think we are thinking things through most of the times. And which is somewhat very embarrassing if you look at our literacy rates on the continent.
Mm.
Yeah, we are touted as one of those very, literacy-wise, we are up there. And well, we keep making very terrible technical mistakes like this. But now, again, there's a point I think we have to clarify on the other side of the coming commercial break. Because this is something that even, our colleagues here, I'm sure you have gone through it, but I'll explain that on the other side of the break.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. Where was I? The technicality, or let me just call it due diligence. Because so when the court is asking you questions, they're just doing their due diligence before they go to, before they go to sentencing. Now, where do my colleagues come into this? Take, for example, someone calls Eagle FM and they have a story. Yeah, most of, very few of them are legit. Most of them are just a pure conjecture. Take, for example, someone got fired. The first thing they do is, for example, if they call Eagle FM, they will say, I got fired because of this and this. So, I showed up late, but I was early. My boss is this and that and that. Now, a lot of Namibians want you to pick that side of the story only and run with it. When you ask them questions, they start taking offense. They start feeling like you're calling them a liar, you don't trust them, or you don't believe their story. But the thing is, I'm asking questions that are going to come if I just take your story, only your side of the story, and take, for example, put it in the paper, or we put it on radio. Someone is going to call and ask, okay, that's a very touching story. Someone lost their job, someone lost their livelihood, but did you talk to their employer? Now, the reason why I'm asking you the question of, give me your employer's number. Can I talk to them? Then you feel like, my story is enough, but come on.
Now, some of the other particular concerns, Amud, has been a discussion also that highlighted the miscommunication scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you focus in on what the standing committee had to do. So they met, we factored in the councillor. They met the councillor first.
The traditional authorities.
Then they went and met they met first with two villages. With three villages before they got to the traditional authority. The traditional authority has all the information about all the dealings from small scale mining, literally to the Uis mining discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional authority said they knew about everything from the purchase that Xin Feng did from the previous owner of the license, the mining license, and they knew about it all through the communication that was given to them by the Ministry of Mines and Energy. Also focused in this, supposedly, because remember that the standing committee in the first two parts that I first mentioned before getting to the traditional authority,
mm-hmm.
the Daure Daman traditional authority, the first two parts, which were those two villages after the constituency councillor, the one village said that because the mining activity showed up at one scenario, mm-hmm. It's known as Omun, I have to get this village's name right, it's one of the village men, but it's just after the meeting, the constituency councillor, but it's the Huaygan traditional authority. But they met at a specific village that first there was, Okambai. Oh yeah, it's still the same Huaygan community. So they met an Oigan traditional authority, which is under the Daure Daman traditional authority, the way I see how this has been laid out. But there is a specific village that said they lost access to wildlife hunting.
Wildlife hunting rights. Those ones felt, and also one pointed out that their access to I'm not sure if it was the mining or the hunting.
Yeah.
You know, that denial for them to continue exercising that felt like they were denied their,
No, they were told. There was an order.
They were denied their rights to access.
Because the mining activity commenced. Or the exploration mining activity commenced. They were told, you cannot hunt here anymore. Which is another weird scenario, because the last time I checked, Helmut, you need the compliance in the hunting side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You need to comply with Ministry of Environment regulations.
Which is why they also mentioned in the report.
Yeah.
In the recommendations.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Okay.
So when they got to the Oigan community, remember they first spoke to the Oigan traditional authority?
Yeah.
And then they got to the Oigan community. Which they visited at Okombaye. The community there also confirmed that they did not observe any illegal mining activities around Okombaye as yet, as they noted that since the mining activities in the area were still at an exploration stage, so that means they knew they were communicated with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is still a section of the Oigan community. However, they noted as a community that they felt that there was an urgent need for awareness creation on what should happen after the explorations had been completed, indicating that the community suggested that conservancies should have more say in issuing the consent letters, just like a traditional authority. So, now you see further conflict arising. Already, we've highlighted one point of conflict already. The one point of conflict is the constituency councillor believing he needs to be on the same level of importance as a traditional authority in a vicinity where the traditional authority has been there longer than him. Then you get the dimension of another traditional authority, traditional authority of that overarching traditional authority, who's now saying, well, we actually also want a say if it's around my house. There's a lot of conflict here. There's a lot of conflict here, Albert.
Let me just, before I take off, let me just take you through a few things that caught my attention here. The first recommendations are not very important to me. The second one I found interesting, that the constituency councillor should liaise with the Ministry of Mines and Energy to create a database of all mining activities taking place in the Daures constituency, be it big or small. Okay, that's basically the communication, that's basically pointing out that there must be communication between the constituency councillor and the Ministry of Mines and Energy so that they can have a database of all the mining activities that's taking place.
Mm.
Yeah, at this point you can just say this would be a brilliant idea for all constituencies. Now, And then you go to the fifth recommendation. Traditional authorities in Daures Daman constituency should foster increased cooperation and coherence with their respective communities.
Mm.
Now, this is just a normal family fight is how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All families fight. These ones, they're not perfect. They're just like each and every single one of the communities that you find here. The reason why in most urban areas like here in Windhoek, the reason why you have fences with the electricity, and if your ball falls in mine, your kids is kicking it too high, that's on them.
You get that neighbor from hell vibes that you know what, let's try and see you climb
that one
over.
Who is angry at everyone.
We will see you. Let's see you climb over.
Yeah,
come and collect.
Yeah, come and get
you. You even take the ball into the house that time to be extra.
Yeah, and then you're looking at the sixth recommendation. The Ministry of Mine and Energy should avoid issuing EPLs to investors before investors are given consent from the respective traditional authorities. did not see that one as one of a bigger problem, because it's a good recommendation, because that's the procedure.
Yeah,
you had to you have to get authorization from the traditional authority. Again, it goes back to the second part, because with proper liaison, this should not be a problem.
No, shouldn't.
Because take, for example, investors, when they land into the country, their first stop, for example, if you want to, to do mining, when you land into a country, I don't think your first stop will be drive directly to the, deep in rural areas and meet the traditional authority. Like, my first stop would be Ministry of Mines and Energy.
Exactly. Or the first stop would primarily be, okay, this is obviously we're talking about now from a perspective of a foreigner.
Yeah, a foreign company.
Yeah. So what usually happens, Helmut, is a scenario of what is further explained also in the report, is that the joint venture Namibian part sits with 10 EPLs. Sitting with 10 EPLs, that guy obviously sought investment, because it's mentioned in the report that he as a Namibian didn't have the capital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember how all this came about. Remember the media storm. He had these EPLs. He resigned because he worked supposedly at that time for the Ministry of Mines and Energy. He had all these EPLs, and then this lithium mining just popped up.
I like the name, though.
Well,
very creative.
Well, it technically rhymes. You can also see it rhymes with his name. I won't mention the guy's name, but anyway, it's still known, because at that stage when the report was highlighted, and even though according to our reporting here at Eagle FM and at The Villager, because it seems like the court challenge had ended, and then it's because how it was explained, speaking to Justicia specifically, she noted specifically on one side, the Ministry of Mines and Energy won the one court challenge. On the other side, Xin Feng won the other court challenge. But in essence, it looked predominantly like a win for Xin Feng.
Mm-hmm.
And when the standing committee met with Xin Feng told them, at that stage when they met, remember this was 2023?
Yeah.
Everything was sub judice. Even though I highlighted now already at just a little bit earlier that everything had ended by 2024. Specifically the court challenges and everything. Now, talking about this particular discussion, you see ultimately what we are highlighting to everyone, which has not been known, is that the traditional, the guys on the ground probably were making so much noise that it looked like something irregular was happening.
Yeah.
But the courts found that there was nothing irregular.
Yeah.
And basing it off the courts' discussions, obviously the courts are there to help interpret the law. If people did not know this, it's not just there to prosecute criminals.
Yeah, it's not going to scratch their head and say, you know what, on this case, you are right. It'll be like, okay, if you are wrong, according to which law?
Yeah. And and what did you commit according to which law?
Now, we have, before I, skedaddle in just a few minutes, let me get to the question that I have now. This is for the, standing committee, which is just the bottom of their conclusion. Now, the delegation, according to their conclusion, engaged the traditional, traditional leaders and communities, like we pointed out, constituency councillors, to solicit facts, basically to find, facts against the, the operations of Xin Feng and Longfi. That's their Namibian counterpart, Longfi Investment. The delegation was also informed about other concerns in the mining activities, such as EPLs being issued to investors by the Ministry of Mines and Energy prior to the request of consent from the traditional authorities. Now, the communities and conservancies felt left out, like you pointed out. Conservancies felt left out. The community felt left out in many ways, one of which was the hunting rights. The Ministry of Environment and Tourism will have, its own questions on that one. Because after one homeboy somewhere in the north, was involved in a domestic dispute over $30,000 endangered python. But let's leave that to the Ministry of Environment.
Yeah, now, that's an environment discussion.
Now, the communities, and that small miners were refused their heritage rights. Now, that's the part. Small miners were refused their heritage rights and therefore regarded as illegal. Are you kidding me? When you are, take for example, you are refused your heritage rights, it's regarded as illegal. Now, I'm looking for a piece of legislation that you're going to use in court to make a point. I have a heritage right. I'm sure you have, we talk about ancestral land, right? So heritage for any Namibian, heritage is basically part of everyone. So you now have to point out that, define what heritage, if someone is doing something illegal, how? Because they have to fence the area or they'll be held liable.
But here's the break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash. It's that simple.
Welcome back. The last part, therefore, the delegations visited the site of trenches that was stopped by the communities due to lack of documentations. So, well, here's the thing. There is, obviously, like you find in a lot of communities, in a lot of communities, in a lot of conversations, there is a lot of, there's a lot of generalization.
Yeah.
And I think this is where the Ministry of Environment and Tourism and, the Ministry of Environment and, the Ministry of Environment, the Ministry of Mines, I like how they are emphasized in the recommendation. Because if someone is leaving trenches, that obviously is going to, and someone's animal falls in there. Obviously, that was done by someone, by a completely different operator.
Hmm.
A lot of people in any community would take it out on anyone or on anyone they see trying to dig another trench. You're not the one that left the trench that my cattle fell in. But, since you are here to do the exact same thing, we just take it out on you. We have seen you before. This is what you do. All you just have to do, all you are going to do is dig a bunch of holes. And then when the resources is exploited, you are going to pack your bags and leave.
And that is one of sort of like the generalizations that you made reference to a little bit earlier, Helmut, in terms of it now seems like the burden that it now seems like a burden to an investor walking in.
Yeah.
Because no one else explained what the other guys were doing there, the other investors that were operating that area. Because now suddenly we're hearing that there had been non-rehabilitation taking place.
Yep.
Off sites. So who's then responsible does that fall on? Was that not supposed to be Ministry of Mines and Energy?
That's Ministry of Mines and Energy. Environment and Tourism, throw them in there.
Yeah. And those particular sort of like misunderstandings and miscommunications are the problematic scenarios.
Yeah. Now, on the misunderstanding and miscommunication, there are a lot of factors that obviously comes in. One of which is, and this is different across communities. People are invited for consultations and they don't show up. We have seen that take place. Or people are just not flat out consulted, but assuming is the last thing we're going to do. Let's just, but what we do have in the report is that, communities that are supposed, communities in this constituency that are supposed to be talking to each other, they are not having a very good communication. For a lot of reasons, most of which obviously factors into human flaws. most of which maybe some of the community members don't talk to each other because of grudges dating back decades. And now that's leading to miscommunication of important information about, about things that is supposed to benefit the entire community. And we are taking it out on, well, investors. And, how do I put this? If we learned one thing from Mozambique is that, investors are like, they're like, if you have gone hunting, yeah. When you find, when you see an animal in the wilderness, don't do that. Otherwise, the Ministry of Mines and Energy will be on your neck. And the Ministry of Environment and Tourism will be on your neck. Wild animals are adapted to their environment. They have a keen sense of sight and keen sense of hearing. So any noise you make is going to scare it. So, investors are more, at least one thing I've learned about investors from Mozambique's $2.something billion scandal, the tuna bone scandal, is that investors can easily be spooked. Yep. So, unless we are basically, laying the ground rules of, this and this and this, take for example, there are ditches that were left by different operators and an investor shows up. And now it's their fault.
You're making it sound like the ditch is like one shovel deep.
According to the report, there are some that were about 30 meters deep.
Yeah. That's a gorge. That's a gorge, yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally a valley in some cases. We call it a slaghat.
Yeah, so, okay.
Don't go say that. Don't use that.
I know. It's a close to a word that's a kiss. Yeah. Now, if you look at this, what you see is building frustration, like you pointed out, especially on the parts of the community members.
Yeah.
A lot of operators were operating unregulated, so they did not rehabilitate the land before leaving. Now, the new guys that shows up, local or foreign, Namibians were like, the members of these communities were like, you're not going to operate here. It's not that it's your fault. It's that just that a bunch of guys that were doing the exact same activity that you are coming here to do did not leave the land in the, in the most peaceful way when they left. So that's at least on the, that's on community members. Now, picture this. You are a traditional leader or a constituency councillor. You live in the environment where there's that, a growing frustration. And, constituency councillors, they come and go. Because, they come and go. Traditional leaders, you're sitting in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're sitting in there for longer. So, most of the frustration is obviously going to build against you. Because, for these guys that are for the guys that are living gorges everywhere to operate, they need authorization from you. And the Ministry of Mines and Energy. Obviously, the question that people are going to ask is, why are you not requiring them to, rehabilitate the land?
Yep. The weird thing always brings us back to the core point, Helmut. The core point being the discussion of the community who is ultimately the last level of stakeholder engagement that have to be in on understanding what's happening in their vicinity.
Yeah.
This particular indication is it's the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Communication medium. It's the bare minimum community engagement level. It's the bare minimum let's inform people. It's the bare minimum let everyone understand what will happen. Helmut, I have not seen such a level of miscommunication in 3 reports on this level. And I now realize specifically that traditional authorities, they are responsible for this. Because a ministry, and it was highlighted,
the ministry can, a ministry can do its part in communicating things.
Yeah.
A minister can go to a level, on the community level to inform the public. But then you hear things like the public, they want the company to sort of like serve their interests. Now, I have not seen, for example, here on the corner of Nelson Mandela and Sam Nyoma Drives, the mm-hmm. two presidential street names, here on this four-way, this major four-way, I have not seen that major petroleum company that has a service station here on the corner serve the residents of this four-way. Because there's a flat building across, mm-hmm. there's a flat building behind the service station, there's a whole bunch of flat buildings this side, and there's another flat building on the opposite side of if people don't know, residence, opposite, you know, on the opposite four-way scenario. Even though that is in a local authority zone, I've not heard something like this before. Because, just like the example I wanted to explain to you, is that foreign investor gets off on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously, the first points of contact that they make is they try to understand how can they register for business in Namibia? How can they engage with local partners in Namibia? Then they, firstly, they go and source local partners because what do they call that thing? It's almost like a treasure hunting exercise. Whether it happens from a Namibian side, let's for example say the joint venture, the Namibian part of the joint venture, that Namibian. Whether he starts it or whether the foreign investor starts it. Mm-hmm. But there was a process that they had to go through. A process by which it probably took like 2 years for the two parties to literally see each other face to face. And I'm not even talking about Zoom calls or MS Office. No, not MS Office. MS, what's that other thing of Microsoft?
Excel.
No, the other, video conferencing platform, the one that became a meme in during COVID. You had Zoom and you had the other one.
This one.
Microsoft Teams. So it's Microsoft Teams, it's Zoom, it's Google, Google Conference? What's Google's video conferencing feature's name as well? Doesn't matter what it is. I'm not.
Yeah, I think that, the Google one, I think, it's been, renamed to Meetings or something.
Yeah, but I'm not factoring in video conferencing scenarios. These guys had to meet each other physically before any papers could be signed, anything could be discussed.
Yeah.
Because in many cases, Namibians across the spectrum, and that's from as young and as old. Namibians think getting a foreign investor is like me finishing talking here now on Eagle FM.
And then you just
I step out there and I get a foreign investor just like that. No, guys, there's a lot of grafting that takes place. There's a grinding that takes place. So when you hear specifically Namibians speak about a real hustle, these are the kinds of hustles. These are literally the kinds of hustles. I mean, Helman, I can tell you stories of how some people that I know of, they grinded for 20 years just for the guy that they were talking to on a phone call to fly to Namibia. For 20 years. People don't understand literally what it means to get that investor to bring his or her money here. Those guys want to know, is Namibia safe? Is Namibia a DRC?
Yeah, because it's, you know, for a long-term investment. Okay, take, for example, mining.
Yeah.
Because mining requires one. Again, this is something that there's this American company that was operating in Venezuela before 2007 or 2017 nationalization?
Yeah.
Well, before they left... Now, if you look at the piece of infrastructure that they left behind, you can't lift an oil refinery, man. So if you just hop in and go to, take your money to a country and start without first finding out if it's safe, you take all your earth-moving machines there because you are going to run a mining operation and find out that it's, you know, it has some, political instability every 2 years. what do you do every 2 years? They get blown up and you keep buying new ones? No one in their right mind would just jump into that form of investment. I know that, well, even if we were doing the investment, we're not dumb enough to just, wake up today and then, go to bed tonight, wake up the next day and you are trusting a total stranger you met online with billions of your dollars.
Nope. Yep.
Because, that's what you are doing. So it turns out, communities, that's one of the problem. They are not talking to each other, at least not in a way that they should. And, in this case, especially when it comes to the gorges that the animals used to fall through in terms of, you know, the environmental rehabilitation failure accusations, for the most, if not all the parts, it's the fault of the guys that were operating there before they even arrived. So we are basically saying it's like being given an, you know, it's like you being recruited into a new job and then, to take over after someone else. And instead of catching you up and telling you that, you know what, this is where your predecessor left off. And these are the faults that they made, you know, don't worry about this. You know, yeah. You have start from a clean slate. But if you just show up and then they start telling you, you are hired today, then all of a sudden they are asking you, why were you not at work yesterday? Like, well, I just got the job.
Yeah.
Why are you blaming me for my predecessor's faults? But basically, in this case, especially when it comes to the gorge, the gorges or more like the ravines that they were making.
Yeah, plural, please. Yeah. You have to add an S.
Gorges.
Gorges and ravines and...
Yeah, ravines. You know, what's this?
And valleys.
You know, in it, there's a Zulu in my stoop, the...
Oh, the Leon Schuster.
The Leon Schuster one.
Okay, there's only one, Leon Schuster.
The diehard character kept saying, you know, Crocodile George.
man. I heard a joke that Crocodile Dundee is a national monument, but it comes from the movie Tropic Thunder. It was the specific line with where Robert Downey Jr. plays another skin color character. And the other guy tells him, you're a dude playing a dude pretending to be another dude.
Having three personalities.
But he pulled off that character.
No, it was actually, because that character till today is technically being quoted as probably one of the best acting displays that I've ever taken. And the whole movie is about a movie. But anyway,
he went through a hassle before he became Iron Man.
It was during his Iron Man productions. He made that movie in, I think, between 1 and 2. Iron Man 1 and 2.
I had to transition from a rich scientist to a black guy.
Being played by a white guy, which he is. Being played by another white guy, which he originally is. But anyway. So, The weirdest thing here, Helmut, obviously, you know, in between our quick sort of like short circuit session there, mm-hmm. was you referenced obviously that the gorges have become a burden to the investor.
Yeah.
The talking point that emanates also from here is that there's clear conflict between the traditional authorities, because it seems there are three of them. The Uegan, the Daure Daman, and the Raiwa, traditional authorities. And each of them tell a different account in terms of what they feel and how they should be, you know, what prominent role they should play. Now, I referenced earlier, Helmut, that the joint venture, the Namibian joint venture part with Xinfeng owns 10 EPLs.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously at this particular time frame, things were under exploration phase, obviously. And specifically also, some of the feedback that the community members were giving to the standing committee was feedback of, oh, we just see trucks showing up.
oh, we just see, like, in the first.
Yeah, we're not told anything.
Yeah, we weren't told, but we just see all these trucks showing up. In the Oegan scenario, no, we just started seeing these foreigners living in some properties close to us in the community. And the scenario from this has been, so, yeah, we want these people to explain themselves because we don't know what they're doing here. We just see them, you know, building up parts of a mountain. The downside has been every time that the ministry has spoken to these traditional authorities.
You know, which bells that, the an account like that rings?
No.
Capital projects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
The councillors that were saying, huh? I just saw what road is being built. I thought, whose road is that? It's a road meant for you, bruh.
Yeah, look, there is no non-embarrassing way to get out of that. One, it's,
it's highly embarrassing.
Because it's whether you knew and you didn't communicate it properly or you did not know, which was even be more embarrassing because, the Minister of Mines and Energy is going to show up and start saying, okay, but for the operators to operate, they must have consulted you.
Yeah.
And now, if the operators have a document that is showing that they consulted you, and you are telling others that you didn't know, the question comes, okay, this is interesting because here is your signature.
This is interesting because, where is this? No, it's a local authority. So how do you not know about the development projects that are needed for your local authority? Which is similar to like, how do the community members not know that they've got a traditional authority that technically takes, oh, Helmut, here's the thing. In contractual law, do you remember that subject matter known as estoppel? Perceived authority.
Man,
I'm now, that idea pops up into my head right now. Yeah. Do you remember estoppel?
Promissory estoppel, yeah. Oh yeah, they're different. Promissory is one of them.
Yeah, promissory is one of them. But okay, what I learned in commercial law was the discussion of it's like a delegated authority. Meaning when you've got a guardian, when you are not of age yet, you're not 21 yet, you and other particular things. Estoppel, dear listeners, is authority that it's legal authority that exists. So, for example, if you're someone. Let's say you are a voter of a country. You're a voter of a country. And the only person that can negotiate on behalf of Namibia and its resources is a president or a minister that has been delegated upon. For example, in that discussion about Namibia's oil, where the famous words of legally, let's put that a big in big caps.
Yeah,
big
that's caps. That's basically a fancy way of the president saying, according to the law as we have it today, the laws of ownership.
But the laws of doing business.
The laws of doing business.
The laws of contracts.
Yep.
The
good thing is the contracts were emphasized.
Yeah.
Contractual agreements were heavily emphasized.
Yeah. So anything to do with contracts.
Yeah,
this exists. All those dots have been placed and those T's have been crossed. There's nothing you can do because they looked at all the laws that impact the contract or the negotiation.
For the next 8 minutes, I'm going to have to pack my bags and run. So
yeah, but we'll also take a short break. We'll come back right after that.
All right.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So, coming back, dear listeners, right after that short break right there, and primarily we step into another short ad break, which is a live read. This is a University of Namibia public announcement. Car parking shortage, get dropped off or ride share. Your graduation day travel guide from 24 to 25 April. To our graduates, their loved ones, and all road users, April is here, the month of gowns, proud moments, and joyful tears. UNAM's Vintook ceremonies takes place on Thursday, 24 April, and Friday, 25 April, at the Vintook International Convention Center, formerly known as Safari Conference Center. Session times are morning, be seated by 7:30 a.m., and the afternoon session participants should be seated by 1:30 during the lunch period. Mobile phones are welcome inside the venue. A quick but crucial heads up, due to ongoing upgrades along the Awas Road, the usual open parking space is no longer available. To ease your day, we suggest get dropped off at the Awas Road entrance, use taxi applications like Yango or Lefa, ride share with friends or family. Limited spots on the Aviation Road is also available, and be mindful of distance and the traffic rules. Traffic officers will also be on site. Please cooperate with their directions. And this is your big day. Let's not let parking spoil the celebration. Plan ahead, leave early, and walk proudly into your next chapter. Hashtag UNUPGrad 2025. Getting back from that, dear listeners, and ultimately leaving us with the last 4 to 5 minutes of today's discussion here on The Home Run. And just as I'm sort of like soloing this out for this last particular zone, do remember, dear listeners, the crux of the message, is as straightforward as the bird or the crow technically flies. Not the bird, the crow, but the crow is a bird. Non-communication, specifically of the details, the extent of the projects, and extensive communication did not take place. Case in point, which leaves you with a question of, is it the responsibility of the foreign investor or the local Namibians, the various stakeholders, whose responsibility does it lie, on whose shoulders does, on whose plate does the responsibility of clear, effective, and long-term education and communication processes, and its responsibility of those particular two processes, whose responsibility is it? Who carries the burden of that responsibility? On that certain particular scenario, dear listeners, it ultimately does leave us to give our greetings, and ultimately just to highlight to you a little bit of words of wisdom that comes through also from the broken telephone exercise. What has always happened in the broken telephone exercise, if you've ever played broken telephone in school, primary school predominantly, is that a teacher always tries to test how best you can listen and carry a message over. We're not talking about hearing gossip, which is juicy, and you just selectively listen to the juicy bits of the gossip. No, we're talking about you listening to the whole message from front, middle, to end. And you carry it over just like that in its full glory to the next recipient. Leaving you with that little bit of wisdom, which now ultimately brings us to the end of today's discussion here on The Home Run, on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And we'll see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow, although our discussion tomorrow will be slightly different because we'll have to analyze some of the particular talking points that come through from the State of the Nation address that is planned for tomorrow. On that note, dear listeners, stay tuned for the business and economic segment right after the break. We'll see each other again, same time, same place.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
At Heineken, our brewing process is a special one. We use unique horizontal brewing tanks, creating that characteristic balanced Heineken taste for that refreshing first ah. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper.
Omiaru odurike kucha iponga ivurithe omayovi omurongo na gari ya dhidhiri kwa mona Namibia omvura aziko. Onkene onditara onora oyo awike omaru wiponga watamba kumonjira dhitumopa asanjika. Otashi vurika sao shimpuyu mingashoka shomonjira etohupitha omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low. Because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.